yourself, and we're going to go into it in a little bit of depth here, but we need to examine ourselves spiritually. Physically, you also do that, but spiritually, we're talking this morning to examine yourself, to really know the real you, and to really know the faith that you're standing in. Father, we thank you for your word today. We pray that you will help us this morning, God, in the sharing of this word, that it will become alive within our hearts and within our souls, God. Lord, we'll realize the necessity of this today, God, and we just won't be hearers of this word today, God, but we'll be doers of this word, God, in the name of Jesus, amen. The key scripture is going to be verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. And unless you don't stand the test. Unless you don't stand the test. So Paul, he had established this church here in Corinth, and he spent about a year and a half with them, and he was there to encourage them and help them. And he wrote them that first letter, which we call 1 Corinthians unto them. And Paul, what he found is that the faith of some of these members was in a downward swing. Their faith wasn't what it was at first. It was ever ebbing downward and downward. And Paul was alarmed about that. He was concerned about that. And so when he visited them between sending that first letter and that second letter to them, he found that their faith is still in a downward swing, because he had received news of what was happening in the churches at Corinth, and he was alarmed about it. He wasn't happy about it. And how can somebody be up here in the faith and then they're ever slowly ebbing downward and downward and downward? And so he wrote them the second letter, and he wrote them the second letter in a different kind of approach. Amen. It wasn't the meek and gentle approach that he had for them in the second letter, because in the second letter, he corrects them. And he gives them a final warning. And you can read all of 2 Corinthians, but in 2 Corinthians 13, the title in my Bible said, Paul speaks of his coming and warns of sin. He gives them a final warning here. So in the first four verses of chapter 13, some of these members, they were doubting and they were questioning Paul. Is this gospel really true that he's talking about? You got to remember, they were basically Jewish people, and they were like wavering in the faith and didn't know. And they were beginning to doubt Paul. They were beginning to question him. But Jesus, amen, in verse 4 it says this, in Paul's writing, for though he, speaking of Jesus, was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. Jesus was considered a meek person. He was considered a humble person, amen, because he was crucified upon that cross. He willingly went to the cross. He didn't fight them. When they come to the garden for him, he willingly went. One of his disciples rose up, and he didn't like the idea that they were going to take this good man away as though he were a criminal and make him a prisoner. And he took his sword, and his name was Peter, and he swung at one of those guards. And I don't know if the guard tried to duck out of the way or if Peter was a bad aim, but instead of taking him right square in the head, like I think is intended, was, he clipped him and cut his ear off. He was so upset about it. Peter wasn't meek and humble, but Jesus willingly went. In fact, getting sidetracked a little bit, he took that ear that was cut off, he picked it up off of the ground, and he put it back on that guard that was coming to take him prisoner, that was going to take him for the time of the crucifixion. And so he was considered weak. He was considered weak in the flesh because he was crucified on the cross. He did not fight that. But yet the power of God was in him. Amen. And for us today, although we are weak, God's power lives within us. Sometimes we feel so weak. There's a song that's written, I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. Amen. Just a closer walk with thee. We are weak, but God's power is in us. Amen. And we will live with him. Paul was stern in verse 2. In verse 2, as he was writing to them, he says, I told you before, and he says, and I foretell you, in other words, I'm warning you again, if I were present the second time, and being present now, I write to them which there heretofore have sinned and to all others that if I come again, I will not spare. I'm going to drop the hammer down on you. I'm going to tell you where the rubber hits the road. I'm going to tell you how it really was. Because Paul knew how serious it was that these people really get a grip on who Christ is. Amen. The hope of glory. That they don't wander off and err in their faith and go into a strange and into a false doctrine. It's so important for us today. We have to make sure that we are in the faith. We have to make sure that we really believe what we say we believe. That we're really living in the Word of God. Amen. That we are in that Word of God. It's good to know about the Word of God, and I would say the majority of us know a lot about the Word of God, but it's not enough to know about the Word of God. We have to live the Word of God. Let it be living and working within us. And so then Paul goes on to talk to them in verse 5, our text this morning, and he says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. And in reality, what Paul was saying to them, do you not realize that Jesus is in you? You need to realize that Jesus is in you. This morning, do you really realize that Jesus is within you? God in the flesh, the creator and maker of this universe, the world and all that's therein, he lives upon the inside of us. If we could just get a glimpse of that, if we could just get some comprehension of that and what that really means, amen, that God graces us with his mercy and with his presence. And he said, if you can't realize that Jesus Christ is in you, amen, you will fail the test. Amen. And that test is you need to examine your faith. You need to test your faith. Why do you need to test your faith? And he goes on and he tells them here, you need to test your faith. You need to prove your own selves and know that Christ Jesus is in you. Is Jesus really in me? Or am I just one of those that's around a lot of people that Jesus is in them, and the spillover effect of Jesus being in them, I'm feeling it touch my life, and then I have the misconception that Jesus is in me. I want Jesus in me to flow out of me. Amen. His word tells us that it will be like rivers of living water flowing out of our souls. Amen. And it says it this way, out of your bellies will flow rivers of living water. And then we sing that song, it's Jesus on the inside. Somebody needs to get me a water. It's Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. I want Jesus to be on the inside of me. Oh, we're so eager to test the faith of others. We'll look at others. We can get critical of them, and we can see their faults, and we can see their failures. We can see where they're falling short, and we can become critical of that. And many times when we see those things in others, we should take it to the Lord in prayer. But many times we don't take that to the Lord in prayer. Amen. What we do is we take it to the next level. We'll mention it to somebody else. Hey, this is what I've seen in sister or brother so-and-so. It seems like they're weak in the faith. It seems like they're faltering in the faith. They don't reach out to help them. Oh, we're so eager to do that. Amen. To test the faith of others. Amen. But according to the Word of God and what we read here today, we need to test ourselves first. Amen. Test yourself first. How does Jesus really see you? Am I in the faith? How do other people see me? Well, it doesn't matter how other people see me. Yeah, it does matter. We ourselves, human nature, our human instinct, we can't see our own shortcomings. We can't see our faults. We can't see our failures. I hope nobody would raise their hand if I were to ask this question this morning, but there might be some. I hope there's none here that would do it, so now I got you ready so you won't do it. But if you think about yourself, how many think you're perfect? You think you're pretty good. There's not much adjustment you need to make. I mean, you got life figured out and things are just going smoothly. You might think that about yourself, but there would be others that would be able to point out faults and failures that you have, that you're not so righteous, you're not so holy, you're not so perfect. Why is that? Because we tend to test the faith of others first. We always notice that first, but we need to test ourselves. We have a need. We all have a need to be examined. examined by Jesus, to be put under the spotlight of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That convicting spirit that God can put within us and upon us. There's so many today that say they have given their hearts to God, and the Word of God does say we are now therefore under no condemnation. Amen. But it's to them that walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. And so they don't want to think that they need to make any more adjustment because they gave their heart to God. Everything's always going to be good in their life. But there can be a slow spiritual decline within us, and it eventually will lead to the point, why is it? Amen. I'm old enough and I've seen it. Why is it that there can be some people seemingly serving the Lord for years and then eventually you don't see them in church anymore? And if you would talk to them, they would think, no, I'm okay. The trumpet sounds, I'm going to heaven. Or worse yet, a lot of times people like that don't even want to discuss spiritual things. Where one time they were in love with the Lord. They were involved in the church. They may have been teaching a Sunday school class, may have been leadership someplace within the church, and now they're just so cold and so indifferent. How can that happen? Amen. I would say one of the reasons that that happens is because there's a slow spiritual decline and they don't pick up on it. They don't examine themselves. You need to examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith, whether you can stand that test of time, or is your love for Jesus a little bit less now than what it was a year ago? Gee, how do I know that? Examine yourself. Church stuff's not so important to me anymore, and giving to the church is not so important to me anymore. Other things start to fill your life up. Examining yourself, and a good way to examine yourself, do you get more excited about things that are non-spiritual than you do about spiritual things? Do you get more excited about the Buffalo Bills having a football game? I don't know if they play today or when they play. You find yourself getting more excited about that than you do about the upcoming church convention? You need to examine yourself. Amen. You need to be more excited about the spiritual side of things. Excited about this offering that we're going to take for the bus. Excited about this convention that's coming up. And if you're one of those that's thinking in your heart, oh no, convention, I better show up there at least a couple times to make the pastor think that everything's okay. And I don't know why they do it. And man, they're robbing a weekend away from me. And I have so many other things to do. But I guess that, you need to examine yourself. You need to wake up. Amen. Because if that's the way that you think, there is a spiritual decline that's happening within you. Amen. And I'm not standing up here trying to make you feel guilty and trying to make you feel like that you're not living up to the standard that God wants you to live. But examine yourself. How strong are you in the faith? Amen. You need to do a spiritual self-examination. A spiritual self-examination. I can attest the spirituality of another. Amen. As a pastor of the church, I can look out and I can have this feeling about this one and that one, where they stand spiritually. But we need to do a spiritual self-examination. Amen. In an individual. Amen. An individual examination. Amen. That examination that we do, you take this. No one else will take it for you. You test yourself. When you were in school and you had to take a test, you had to take that test yourself. Nobody could take it for you. It would be easier for you to come up and say, Pastor, what do you think about me and my spirituality? How am I doing? You better be careful asking a question like that. You might be surprised what I might come out and say, what the Lord might lead me and direct me to say to you. But better yet, what God wants us to do is that individual examination. Amen. You have to test yourself to see whether you're really in the faith, or if you're just there, as I said a moment ago, you're feeling the splashing effects from others. You feel the presence in the Spirit of God. And because you feel that, you think everything's good. This is an individual walk with God. Amen. That self-examination. Nobody really likes examinations. Whether it be a test you're taking in school, how many can really say they like to take a test in school? They just look forward to it. They think it's the most wonderful thing. Well, there's a few hands that went up, okay? How many like it when you have to go to the doctor and you're going to do a thorough physical examination? Oh, nobody's hand went up. Nobody likes that too much. We don't like that too much. There's something about examination that we don't like. But this examination that I'm talking about, this spiritual examination, you examine yourself. You examine yourself. Paul, as a command to them in verse 5, he wanted to examine themselves. He wasn't requesting that they examine themselves. He wasn't accepting any excuses. He said, you examine yourself. And so if you would come to me and say, what do you think my spiritual condition is? I might come back to you and say, what do you think it is? How strong are you in the faith? But a lot of times we like to avoid examinations. In school, when I went to school, if I could avoid examinations, I would have loved to have been able to do that. But to be able to pass the test, I had to take those examinations. When I was going to school, I think it was in, I could be wrong here, I think it was in sixth grade, and ninth grade, or something, we had to have a physical examination from a doctor. Boy, I did not like that. I did not like that. But I had to do it, and I had to pass the test, because if that doctor found something wrong, it was going to be reported back to my parents for them to take me to the family physician to see what was going on. Amen. But Paul here is saying we need to examine ourselves. It is very necessary to do this test, to examine yourself. What are we doing? Whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves, whether you be in the faith. And as I said many times already this morning, I could look at somebody else, you could look at somebody else, and you can know they're a little bit weak in the faith in this area. They're not so good in that area. They're strong in this area. But what about yourself? Examine yourself. I don't ever want to be amongst the number of those that was strong in the faith, in the house of God, doing what I should be doing, serving God, being pleasing to God. And then as the years go by, in 10 years, going to find me? Are you going to find me sitting in my home in a rocking chair, and I want nothing to do with church? I don't want you to talk to me about church. I don't give my tithes anymore. I don't give my offerings anymore. I'll talk to you about anything else but church. I'll just shut you right down. I don't want to become that person. And all of us have the potential to become like that if we don't examine our faith. Amen. To make sure that our foot is on the rock and our mind is made up. You have to have your foot up on the rock. You have to be determined to serve Jesus, because the enemy of your soul, the enemy of my soul, he's after us, and he's no dummy. He's trying to weaken the foundation. He'll weaken the foundations of your faith. And on Wednesday night here, we're studying the doctrine, amen, the things that we believe and why we believe them, and backing them up with Scripture. The enemy of our soul doesn't want us to get that down in our hearts and in our souls. Amen. He wants to weaken us. And so the question comes, is the enemy weakening your faith today? He just keeps battering. He just keeps hitting. He just keeps battering. He just keeps chipping away. He doesn't give up. He just keeps coming against us. But we need to remember that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And there's more with me than are against me. We can think about that passage in the Old Testament. The prophet and his servant, they were surrounded by the enemy, and it was sure death for them. Amen. There was a host around them. They were only two, and they were going to die. And the servant was very concerned. And the prophet said to him, God, open his eyes so he can see. And then when he opened his eyes, he could see that God had an army encamped around about them. And God brought deliverance to them. God has an army encamped around about you. If God be for us, who can be against us? If we try to do it on our own, none of us are going to make it. If we try to do it on our own in 5 or 10 or 15 years, none of us will be in the faith. The enemy would have won the battle. But that's why it's important that you do this test. Amen. So what are we going to examine? What do we have to examine? What do we have to test? Amen. To see if we are in the faith. Amen. It might seem crazy. Amen. It might seem insane to test your faith. Because what do? We take our faith for granted. I'm always going to believe in Jesus. He's done so much for me. But we can become callous to this thing. We can become so familiar with it that it doesn't mean anything to us anymore. Have you ever seen somebody come in that was a poor lost sinner, and they give their heart to God, and God changes their life? Have you ever noticed the zeal and the excitement that they have for Jesus? Oh, it even lifts us up. It even helps us. Why have we lost our zeal and our excitement? Because we have become so familiar with the Spirit of God and with being able to feel the Spirit of God, that if we're not careful, we soon take it for granted. We think that we're going to feel it all the time. Amen. God's Spirit isn't always going to dwell with man. We have to live in that place close enough to God that God's Spirit can dwell within us. Amen. Because God's Spirit don't dwell in an unclean vessel. Amen. We have to keep ourselves pumped up. We have to keep ourselves excited about serving Jesus. Amen. It might seem we take our faith for granted. I accepted Jesus. I'm in the faith. What are you worried about, Pastor? And some people, it's this crazy. They've been misled. Pastor, I was baptized as a baby. I have a place in heaven. And they've made no confession to Jesus. They haven't asked Jesus to come into their heart. They've been deceived into thinking because of certain things that were done within their lifetime that they have a place in heaven. This is a personal experience that you need to have with Jesus. Amen. And not just be satisfied. Well, I accepted Jesus. I'm in the faith. Amen. There's nothing the devil can do to me. Now, that's true in a sense, but you have to have fight within you. Amen. They don't take note of the shortcomings of their faith. Those little areas that crop up in their life where they really, that in reality, they're doubting God. They're not thinking that this is really for me. This is for somebody else. God can do this and this, but he can't do that. Amen. They don't take note of the shortcomings of their own faith. And so that's why Paul was asking them to examine inwardly to see if their faith was strong. And I ask that of you this morning, to examine yourself inwardly to see if your faith is strong. What would it take for you to quit serving Jesus? And if you could name any one thing, then you need to go to work on that area. Amen. The devil is always against us, but if God be for us, who can be against us? And so we're going to look at some areas that we must self-examine within our life. To let us examine ourselves to see whether we're in the faith. What's your attitude towards God? Amen. Do you depend on God, and are you accountable to him, or do you look at God as some big judge that's sitting up there? He's waiting for me to mess up and he's going to kill me like he did Ananias and Sapphira that we studied in Sunday school this morning. What's your view of God? What's your attitude toward God? Is the God you serve a God of love and a God of mercy and a God of grace? Or is he a God of judgment? Is he a God of wrath? Do you depend upon him? And most importantly, do you, self-examining yourself, do you find yourselves accountable to God? It's easy to be accountable to man. We were all at one time accountable to mom and dad. They had expectations of us, certain things that we did, and we knew they were going to question us, and so we would do things right because we were going to have to give an account. We were going to have to give a reason why we did what we did. Well, it's the same way with God. If we're accountable to him, we are all going to stand before God someday, and he's going to ask you about things that you did in this life. You are accountable to him. That's what your attitude toward God needs to be. Some people in this world that we're living, they're not accountable to anybody. They don't want to be accountable to anybody. I'll do what I want to do when I want to do it. I'll live and let live. And if you don't like it, just look the other way. We got to be careful as Christians that we find ourselves accountable to God. If you don't like what another man thinks about you, so be it. You don't have to like that. But what does God think about the things that I'm doing in my life? I'm accountable to God. I'm examining myself. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will bring up things in your life. And what about this issue? You're accountable to God. What's God think about this? It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what the church thinks. It doesn't matter what another believer thinks. But what does God think? That's examining yourself. And then some areas. We're talking about areas of self-examination. What's your attitude towards sin? What's your attitude towards sin? You're either concerned about sin, or you could care less. It's not that big of a deal. Well, it's not that, you know, they can do what they want to do. Not that big of a deal. Or otherwise, you're concerned about sin. I don't want any sin in my life. And then the fine lines of it, we can almost be tormented by it. Amen. Sometimes we take scripture out of context to our demise, but the scripture does say, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So sin is a fine line. Sin doesn't have to be going out and putting a knife in somebody's back or shooting them down with a gun or robbing a bank. Those things are sinful. We know that. If we hate our brother without a cause, that's a sinful thing. And what's your attitudes towards sin? I'm concerned about sin. I don't want any sin in my life. And some people think, well, I don't want it. You don't have to live in fear. You give your heart to God. You don't have to live it in your fear that you're going to sin. There's some people that take this to such an extreme that at the end of the day, they'll say, God, forgive me. And if Jesus came before that prayer, I don't know what would happen to them. They don't understand the mercy and grace of God if they pray this way. But they'll say, God, forgive me for everything today that I did wrong, and even for those things that I did wrong that I didn't realize they were wrong. That, come on. That's going to an extreme. You don't have to go to that extreme, because as you're traveling through your day and you're loving Jesus and you have that self-examination and you're accountable to God, if you do something that doesn't please God, that's sin, that's wrong, you're going to know it immediately. You're going to know it immediately, and you're going to say, okay, God, I won't go that way. Forgive me. Have mercy on me. Then that way you're always ready for the coming of the Lord. You don't let all your mishaps throughout the day pile up, and at the end of the day, I'll take care of those. Amen. This Christian walk that we're in, we can walk in purity. We can walk right. We can walk holy all the time, because I don't know all the whys and wherefores and the do's and the don'ts, but that Holy Spirit within me, he does. And if I step out of line, he lets me know I step out of line. That's self-examination. I'm concerned about sin. I don't want sin in my life. Is that the attitude you have? Or is your self-examination is, I don't even think about it. I'm saved by the grace and the mercy of God, and it is what it is. No, you need to be concerned about it. What is your attitude? Amen. Your self-examination. What's your attitude towards Jesus? Do you really understand this? And you have to get it. Jesus died for your sins. It's so easy to think, oh, he died for the sins of the world. He come that we might have life. We might have it more abundantly in all the scriptures that we can quote and all the wonderful things that we can do. But when we self-examine ourselves, we have to realize that Jesus came and he died for me. He was beat and he was put on that cross and he was whipped for me. He did it for me. Amen. To really understand that he died for my sins. Do you really understand that Jesus died for your sins? He didn't die so that you can sin and then he can forgive you. He died so that you don't have to sin. Amen. You don't have to sin. And what's your attitudes towards God's word? Amen. What's your attitude? Self-examination. Do you desire to gain a better understanding of God's word and how to apply it to your life? Don't talk to me about the Bible. That's a complicated book. I can't read that thing. Besides that, there's so many different interpretations of the Bible out there and so many versions of it. I don't know which one I should read. Every one of them say they're right. And no, what is your attitude? What is your thought as you self-examine towards God's word? Do you have a deep down desire to gain a better understanding of God's word? You can be like the psalmist David said, thy word, O Lord, have I hid in my heart. And here we go again. His attitude towards sin was right. He said, thy word, O Lord, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That should be one of the greatest fears that all of us have, that we're going to sin against God. We have to examine ourselves. And then we have to have this attitude towards the Bible. Not just reading the Bible. It's a wonderful book, wonderful stories. Oh, that's great. God did it for them. But how can I take this Bible? How can I take the words in this Bible and apply it to my own life? Amen. That Spirit of God that is within you will help you to take these words and be able to apply them to your own life. Amen. To help you to see whether you're in the faith. What's your attitude towards prayer? You're examining yourself. Prayer. Oh, I'll do anything but a prayer service. Oh, them prayer services. I just don't get much out of them. And, you know, a lot of excuses you hear. We go to pray, and I don't like to go in group prayer because it annoys me when I hear other people pray, and I find it distracting. Man, you come into a prayer service, you need to take that song that we sing, Shut In With God In A Secret Place. It's just you and Jesus. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. You're shut in with God. And we don't come to a prayer service just to show ourselves, hey, I was here. You know, mark my name down. What's your attitude towards prayer? I want to do better with my prayer. That should be the self-examination. We can all grow in our prayer life, myself included. No matter how much you're praying right now, you can learn to pray more. Amen. And we need to learn to pray, or I want to do better with prayer. Or is it just an occasional prayer? You know that sometimes there's times that people only pray when they mess up. When they mess up, they'll say, oh God, have mercy upon me. I've been hunting this week, sitting up in that tree stand. I spent 20 and a half hours sitting in a tree stand this week. That's a lot of time to sit there and think. Well, I'm sitting there, and I heard the word of God read more this week than I do other weeks. I remember I was talking to you about that. I got through the book of 2 Chronicles, got clear through it. Amen. Read a lot of chapters. I heard it read to me. And I spend some time sitting in that tree, in that tree stand, meditating on God and praying for each one of you as your face, so your name comes before me, that God will be with you, that God will help you. So what's your attitudes towards prayer? Bah, humbug. That's not for me. That's for them old timers that sit in rocking chairs that don't have time, don't have anything else to do. You want to do better in your prayer, that self-examination. Or are you those that think, and I know I already said this, an occasional prayer is okay. You know, what's your attitude on prayer? Well, I don't know how to pray, so I read up what Jesus taught, and you sit down every day and you go, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power, the kingdom, and the glory forever. Amen. See you later, God. Is that the kind of prayer life you have? If you don't know any better, you can start there, but we need to examine. We're self-examining ourselves. Do I pray? What's my attitude towards prayer? I want to pray. I want to be there. What's your attitude towards other believers? We're talking about self-examination this morning. The attitude towards other believers. Do I appreciate being around others of like precious faith, learning from them, or self-examination? Really, Pastor? I'm rather embarrassed to be around some Christian people. I'd rather be around non-Christian people. I feel more comfortable around non-Christian people. Self-examination. If you feel more comfortable around non-Christian people, you're in a downward swing. Step by step, it's going down, it's going down, it's going down. We should be joyous to be together. It's the enemy of our soul that wants us to see the faults and failures in others and how I can't stand you and you can't stand me and you just have this thing that you do. It just bothers me. I don't like to be around you. And we start nitpicking with each other. We need to enjoy the company of other Christians. Amen. Or we learn from them. Or I'd rather be around non-Christians. That's self-examination. Where do you stand today? Do you feel more comfortable being around non-Christians or being with Christians? You answer that question yourself. Is Jesus really in you? Is he really in there? That self-examination. We're not perfect. None of us are perfect. But there should be some evidence that Jesus is in there. It's Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Amen. And you know what? If Jesus is in there, there's going to be an outward reflection of Christ to the world around us. We're like a mirror. When there's songs that are sung, but you've heard this sermon before. You've heard these words before. When people look at you, what do they see? Do they see misery? Do they see hypocrisy? Do they see coldness? Do they see, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be a Christian? Is that what they see? Or do they see Christ in you? Do they see the love of God pouring out of you? Do they see compassion and caring pouring out of you? That you're there to help others. You're there to make other people's day better than what it is. You're just letting the love of Jesus show. You have the fruits of the Spirit working within you. You got love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith. You're not cutting people off on the road. You're not swinging your fist. You're not flaring out at people. They can see Jesus in you. Amen. People must see Jesus in you. They have to see Jesus in you. Where are they going to see Jesus? If they don't see it in you, where are they going to see it? There's people that I know that you don't know, and there's people that you know that I don't know. And so if they don't see Jesus in me, where are they going to see it?
Well, that's not my problem.
Yeah, it is your problem. If you have Jesus in you, people should see that Jesus in you. And if we don't test or if we don't examine ourselves, amen, how do you know? You might not pass the test.
Oh, you're making me uncomfortable, telling me I got, you're telling me that I'm messed up, that I got some things that I need to make adjustments on. Who do you think you are coming after me like that?
Well, right there's a sign you better test yourself, because that's not a very good attitude. Openness before God. God, search my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. God, is there anything in my heart that's taking me on a downward trend that I'm not even aware of? Because he doesn't take us from here down to here overnight. It's just little things, just a little thing at a time, a little thing at a time, a little thing at a time. And then you find yourselves, you're not in the faith like you used to be in the faith. Maybe you used to be so strong in the faith that every time the church doors were open, you felt obligated. You felt a desire. You felt a burden in your soul. I got to be found in the house of God. I can't be anywhere else. And if I'm somewhere else, I feel like I'm sinning. I feel like I'm doing wrong. Now it's like, if you don't make it to church, oh well, not that big of a deal. The church will be there next week. I'll get there when I can get there. God understands. That is a downward trend. You need to examine yourself. You don't like to be examined by others. Why not examine yourself? Why not make the adjustments yourself? Amen. So we have to test ourselves. Paul knew that some in the church at Corinth, he knew that they wouldn't pass the test. He knew if they examine themselves, they're going to see. And if they're really honest, they're going to see where they're falling short. He knew that. Amen. Why? Because if you read through these letters that he wrote to the people in Corinth, they had worldly thinking. They had some worldly thinking within them. You're doing self-examination. Do you have some worldly thinking within you? You have to think about that. Just right off the cuff to answer that, you'd probably say, no, I don't think so. But really think about it. God, is there some worldly thinking within me where I'm accepting the ways of the world as being your ways? God, let me see this. Let me understand this. Paul knew that. Amen. It's not easy to face the truth. But we must face the truth before it's too late, because then all of a sudden we'll find ourselves so far away from God that if we do need God, we won't even know how to get back to God. That doesn't happen overnight. It's a progression. It just goes downward, 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 ever so slowly. Don't let it happen to you. But in verse 11, finishing up here this morning, there was hope. And then he said, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, he said unto them. That means be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. And so there is a hope that you'll pass the test of faith. That's what he was saying to the people. There's a hope that you're going to pass this test of faith, but you must continue to grow in the faith, because if you're not growing in your faith, you have become stagnant in your faith. And if you become stagnant in your faith, you're going to start that downward trend. Your downward trend. Examine yourself. This just come to my mind, so I'm going to say it's God that put it there. Examine yourself. You used to be a fervent giver to the work of the Lord. It didn't matter when you got that paycheck tithing. That was the first thing. You didn't even look at your bills. You wrote that check out for tithing. You laid something aside for an offering. You proudly would give it in the church. You were happy to do it. Now you find yourself, everything else is first. Oh, there's not enough for tithe. Sorry, Lord. You didn't bless me enough this week. I can't give tithe. The question of an offering, I mean, that's even out. I can't do it. That's a downward trend that happened. If you were once on fire for something for God and you don't do it anymore, something happened. Did God grow cold? If you used to be a faster, and I'm talking about one that abstains from food, you would do it religiously. Now, you don't have to do it routinely or religiously, but some people do. They'll take a certain day a week and they fast, and they've done it. Now, examine yourself. When's the last time you fasted?
Oh, I don't want to talk about that. It makes me uncomfortable.
If you're not fasting now like you fasted before, that's a downward trend. You need to pick up on those things because you have become stagnant in the faith. And so you must test or examine.
Test exams. We talked about those. We've all taken them in education, and we give a lot of attention to it. I hope you do. If you don't give a lot of attention, might get to your spelling test, you're not going to do so good, right? You've probably had that experience. You didn't study for a spelling test. Didn't go so good. So when you know, when you hear the word and you're in school and you hear the word exam or test, your ears perk up and you think, okay. And you're looking for any clues or hints. What might be on that test? What do I need to study? Students will even ask, hey, teacher, what do I need to study for this test? They'll say, study it all. And you'll be like, thanks, that really helps me. But we take a lot of attention to that. We pay a lot of attention to it. We take it seriously. What I'm talking to you about this morning, you need to take this spiritual exam seriously. You need to see where your faith is, and you need to improve your faith. If Sister Bonnie can come down to the music here this morning. You need to examine yourself today. You need to see seriously where you are in the faith. Do you have that same desire and fervency to serve God like you used to have? Man, you wanted to be in every camp meeting. You wanted to be in every convention. You wanted to be in every service. You were wanting there to be revival meetings every other weekend. You were wanting to fast. You were wanting to pray. You couldn't wait to get into God's word. You were just, oh, there was such excitement. You couldn't wait till Sunday come because you had your tithes and your offerings to give. You were so excited about it. You were inviting people to church. That's a good self-examination. If you're sold on this thing, you're going to be inviting other people to church. If it's just, well, doing my duty, sort of expected of me, you're not going to invite other people to church. Self-examination, that says a lot to you. When's the last time you invited somebody to church? You answer that yourself. That's a self-examination. That is like, oh, we need to do it. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Amen. Amen. We want God, amen, to search our hearts today, to see where your faith is, to improve your faith. God, improve my faith in you. And I'm not condemning anybody. Listen, you are where you are. For whatever reason, you are where you are. But we can all improve ourselves. We can all step up just a little bit higher. We can all step up just a little bit closer. Amen. But recognizing that we're not what we used to be, we need to seriously say, God, forgive me. I have fallen short. I'm not where I used to be. God, I need to get back where you want me to be. Do you think that God's not going to help you get back to where you used to be if you have that desire? It can happen in a moment, in an instant. You can be back up on that plateau where you were before. But examine yourself. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Christ is in you, except you be a reprobate, except you don't pass that test. I want to pass that test. Amen. Let's sing this morning.